Chapter 47. It was as if Adeline was a come-from-behind thoroughbred pounding around the far turn into the backstretch, flying through the herd and vying for the lead. Her connecting rods were a blur as they whipped the massive drive wheels over the rails. No locomotive ever worked harder. From the Oakland rail yard to the wilds of Montana, she had covered more distance faster than any locomotive in history. No one timed her speeds, but none on board her cab or those who had seen her hurtle past ever doubted that she had surpassed 90 miles an hour on straight and level stretches of track. Yongoard had the throttle against its stop, throwing Adeline over tracks that were never meant for such speeds. Both engineers sat in the cab seats, their eyes fixed on the track ahead. Bell and Long shoveled while Shea systematically banked the fire to keep it burning evenly for the maximum amount of heat for proper combustion. The chugging sound of the steam exhaust became one continuous hiss, and the smoke poured from the stack in an ever-growing cloud. Bell stopped shoveling every so often to stare at the train ahead, growing larger by the minute. There was no effort to sneak up on Cromwell now. He pulled the cord and gave the whistle a long shriek that cut through the breeze beginning to blow in over the lake. Bell's lips were spread in a tight smile. He hoped Cromwell sensed that it was he who was charging down his throat. Bell turned, looked up to the sky, and saw it had changed from a blue sea to a gray shroud from the Chinook wind that howled out of the Rocky Mountains to the east. Great swirls of dust, leaves, and small debris were thrown like wheat chaff through a threshing machine. The water of Flathead Lake had gone from a dead calm to a turbulent mass in less than 20 minutes. Then, suddenly, both Yongoward and Lofgren shouted at once, "Wagon on the track!" Every eye swung and stared at the track ahead. A farmer with a hay wagon pulled by a team of horses was on a road crossing the tracks. He must have heard the engine's whistle, Bell thought, but the farmer had badly misjudged the speed of the train, believing he could cross the tracks in plenty of time. Yongoward heaved back the reverser Johnson bar, slowing the drive wheels until they stopped and spun backward in reverse, breaking the speeding locomotive. When the farmer realized the iron monster was only 100 yards away, he whipped his horses in a frenzied attempt to drive them out of the path of onrushing death. By then, it was too late. Adeline plowed into the wagon in an explosion of hay, wooden planks, splinters, and shattered wheels. The men in the cab instinctively ducked behind the protection of the boiler as debris clattered along the sides of the engine and flew over the roof onto the tender. Miraculously, the horses had jumped forward and escaped without harm. Bell and the others did not witness the farmer's fate. As soon as Yongoward brought Adeline to a halt 100 yards down the track, Bell and crew leaped from the cab and ran back to the crossing. They were all vastly relieved to find the farmer lying no more than 5 feet from the rails with all his hands and feet intact. He had pushed himself to a sitting position and was looking around, befuddled at the demolished wreckage of his wagon. "Are you injured?" asked Bell anxiously. The farmer surveyed his arms and legs while feeling a rising bump on the head. "A rash of bumps and bruises," he muttered. "But wonder of wonders, I'm still in one piece, praise the Lord." "Your horses also survived without injury." Shea and Long helped the farmer to his feet and led him to the horses that had seemingly forgotten their narrow brush with death and were eating the grass beside the road. He was glad to see his horses in sound shape, but angered that his wagon was scattered over the landscape in 100 pieces. Bell read his mind and gave him a Van Dorn card. "Contact my detective agency," he instructed. "They will compensate you for the loss of your wagon." "Not the railroad?" the farmer asked, confused. "It wasn't the railroad's fault. A long story you'll read about in the newspapers." Bell turned and gazed in frustration down the tracks at the fading smoke from Cromwell's locomotive. He refused to believe he had failed so close to his goal. But all was not lost. Already, young Gaward had backed up Adeline to pick up Bell and the crew. Seeing the farmer able to fend for himself, young Gaward yelled to Bell, "Hop aboard! We've got time to make up!" Bell, Lofgren, and the fireman had barely climbed back into the cabin when young Gaward had Adeline barreling down the rails once again in hot pursuit of the bandit's train. The Chinook was upon them now. The wind blew the dust and loose foliage like foam flying from surf plunging onto a beach. Visibility had been cut to no more than 200 yards. Young Gaward could no longer peer out the side of the cab, or his squinting eyes would have filled with the dust. Instead, he stared through the cab's forward window, having no choice but to cut Adeline's speed from 75 miles an hour down to 45. He saw a semaphore beside the track with its flag in the horizontal position, signaling the locomotive to stop, but he ignored it. Next came a sign proclaiming the outer town limits of Woods Bay. Not knowing the exact distance to the ferry landing, he slowed down even more until Adeline was creeping along at 25 miles an hour. Young Gaward turned to Bell. "Sorry about the slowdown, but I can't see if the town docks are 500 yards or 5 miles away. I've got to lower the speed in case we come upon the bandit's freight car or flat cars with logs sitting on the main track." "How much time do you figure we lost?" asked Bell.
12 minutes by my watch."
"We'll catch them," said Bell with measured confidence. "Not likely the ferry crew will risk crossing the lake in this weather." Bell was right about the ferry not normally running across the lake in rough water, but he missed the boat by underestimating Cromwell. The butcher bandit and his sister had not come this far to surrender meekly. Cromwell and Margaret were not to be stopped. Already their train was rolling across the dock onto the ferry.